Morning, church family. Good to see all of you. A couple of logistical things before I start into the message today. One thing is actually next Sunday is my last Sunday, unless Steve knows something that I don't know. So I will be sharing my final message next Sunday. I also want to encourage you, while I'm still your pastor for another 10 days, we are a little bit behind in our giving, and just want to encourage you to view the month of December as an opportunity for us to catch up in our budget. And so if you're able in your giving to help with that, that would be great. We're just a little bit behind as we finished out our first quarter of our fiscal year. And as Steve shared during announcements, we'll be having a brief congregational meeting in between services. And this is for our members, what we call our covenant partners, to vote on my request for a voluntary dissolution of my call as your senior pastor. In some ways, this is a formality, but our bylaws stipulate that our members vote on calling or dissolving the call for an associate pastor or a senior pastor. And so it'll be a brief meeting, as basically you're voting to release me from my call here so I can take care of my health issues. And I'll be moderating the beginning of the meeting, and then I will turn it over to Pastor Kate, who will moderate the actual vote while I leave the room. And so that's in between services, should be a brief meeting. Secondly, as I leave Glenkirk, I would like to share some of my books with you. And so for the next 2 weeks, out on the patio, you'll find a table with some of the books. And these are not like my throwaway books that I've been looking for a reason to get rid of. I have other ways of getting rid of those. These are books that have been meaningful to me or significant to me through the years. And since I have trouble reading actual books because of my eye condition, many of these books are books that I have Kindle or on my Bible software program. Now, and I'd love for you to have the opportunity to grab a couple of them if you'd like as my gift to you, and the rest I'll donate to our missions partner, GTI. And then finally, some of our elders and staff have graciously planned a going away lunch today. And they planned it today because we figured that a lot of people would be out of town next Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. So I hope you're able to celebrate what God has done among us over the last 6 years. Cindy's here. We'll have some pastors from our community. We have a couple of pastors from Lake Avenue Church and a church that I planted a couple of years ago that will be there as well. And so I'm looking forward to that. When I came to Glenkirk 6 years ago, one of the first things I noticed is that Glenkirk is a serving church. Serving other people is part of this church's DNA. You know, just a few weeks after I started, I watched you all host the winter shelter program for people in the community experiencing homelessness. This is a program that was run by the East San Gabriel Coalition for the Homeless. And Glenkirk was one of, I think, four or five or six host churches. And my first year here, you hosted about 170 people experiencing homelessness for about 2 weeks. They showered here, slept in our event center, ate in our fellowship hall, were given free clothing and haircuts and basic medical care, had the opportunity to go to a nightly Bible study. TV stations came out to interview the leaders and highlight this ministry. And everywhere I looked, I saw you serving, cooking meals and coordinating showers, serving food, leading Bible studies, cleaning up. And we were all sad when the coalition shut down that program a couple of years ago because it was such a great opportunity to serve those in need. My first year, I also noticed that same commitment to serve during my first summer during Vacation Bible School. I was in awe over how many people took vacation time from work in order to volunteer for VBS. And I watched as craftsmen and contractors built sets and watched you serve and parking and security and lead small groups and teach crafts and help with music and skits. Glenkirk is and always has been a serving church. And the Winter Shelter Program and VBS showed me early on two groups that you have consistently served through the years. People who are in need and children. The Winter Shelter Program showed me that you serve people in need. Our ministry partner, Shepherd's Pantry, was started by Glen Kirk members 20 years ago and have grown into its own independent ministry with three different locations. Our weekly shower ministry that we do on Thursdays here at Glen Kirk in partnership with the city of Glendora is part of that commitment. And I hope as Glendora, as a city, moves ahead with affordable and emergency housing, that Glen Kirk Church is on the front lines of partnering with the city to care for those in need. Because that's what you do. You serve those in need. And you've also consistently served kids and students through the years as well. Glen Kirk has always been a place that's loved kids and loved students. In fact, I had lunch recently with a new pastor of a church here in Glendora a couple of weeks ago. And this pastor grew up in Glendora and eventually moved away and has been pastoring in other places. And just recently, in the last couple of months, came back to pastor a church in his hometown. And as we were having lunch, he told me that he was introduced to a relationship with Jesus by you in children's ministry events here at Glen Kirk. And now he's serving as a pastor in our community. I love that. And we have a great staff leading our kids ministry and our student ministry here at Glen Kirk. I've known Amber, our children's ministry director, since she was a sophomore at APU. And she's grown into be one of the best children's directors I've worked with over my 36 years of ministry. And our student ministry director, Julie Ahn, is like a Pied Piper with students. They just gravitate towards her. And Amber and Julie and their team of staff and volunteers are doing a great job impacting kids and students. Glen Kirk is a serving church. But one of the dangers of being a serving church is that service can become exhausting. There are always more needs than we can meet. And over time, we get tired. And when we get tired, sometimes we lose the joy of service. But because the need is still there, we often keep on serving joylessly. How can we sustain our joy as people? Well, today is the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Joy. And we're in this series, Songs of the Season, and there are a lot of Advent and Christmas songs about joy. Joy to the world, O come all ye faithful, to name a few. And the song in the Bible that we're going to look at today is also about joy. Today we're going to look at the Song of the Angels, from Luke chapter 2, Victoria Guzman read it earlier, and we're going to read it again. It's on page 1459 in the Pew Bibles in the rack, if you'd like to follow along. And if you're willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. The central characters of this well-known Christmas story are the angels. And back then, or the shepherds, excuse me. And back then, the primary job of a shepherd was to provide food, water, and protection for a flock of sheep or a flock of goats. And the way shepherds did this was by living outdoors with the flocks. Because shepherds constantly had to find new food sources and water sources for their flocks, they would move around a lot, spending a lot of time away from their homes. And in the ancient world, many people looked down on shepherds as a little odd, a little weird, a little untrustworthy. In fact, there's some evidence that suggests that shepherds were not allowed to testify in court because they had a reputation for exaggerating things. Now, the Bible is filled with shepherding imagery. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to look for the one lost sheep, the shepherd who lays his life down to protect the sheep. And the people of God are often pictured as lost sheep in need of a trustworthy shepherd to guide them. And church leaders are called to shepherd, to pastor God's people. But surprisingly, the only reference to literal shepherds in the entire New Testament is this one in Luke chapter 2. These shepherds were working in the fields at night. And as they fed and protected the flock, an angel of God appears to them. The angel assures them that the angel intends no harm, but is bringing good news that will be cause of great joy for all people. And there we find that word, joy. The New Testament word for joy is the Greek word chara. Chara describes an experience of gladness or delight that's caused by something exceptionally good. And in this case, the exceptionally good thing that will cause this great delight is the birth of Jesus. So the angel encourages them to go and to find this baby to see for themselves, because this joy is for them as well. And then a whole company of angels appears in the heavens and sings that song, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests." This is sometimes called the Gloria or the hymn of the angels. This is a song of the season. And if you keep reading, the shepherds go and they find Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and they spread the news of the birth of Jesus. But remember, shepherds back then were viewed as unreliable. So many people probably brushed off what they said as a typical shepherd's tale, if they only knew. So what does the shepherd's experience and the song of the angels tell us about joy on this third Sunday of Advent? Well, we learn that joy comes from heaven to earth. It comes from heaven to earth. Joy is not something we can just inwardly conjure up within ourselves. It's not like joy is latent within us, that we have a joy reservoir, and if we just flip the switch, we'll experience joy. There are a lot of things that people can do, but we cannot conjure up authentic joy. I love the imagery of joy coming from the angels to the shepherds, from heaven to earth. Angels are heavenly creatures, beings made by God to serve God in the heavenly realm. And the announcement of an angel was an announcement from heaven. And of course, as I already mentioned, shepherds were pretty odd and lowly people. They weren't exactly the wheelers and dealers of ancient society. They weren't the politicians or the celebrities. They weren't the military generals or the philosophers. Shepherds were obscure outside at night caring for their flocks. And the proclamation of joy from the angels to the shepherds shows us that the trajectory of joy comes from heaven to earth, not the reverse. See, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is usually caused by a specific event or circumstance, but joy can transcend our circumstances. Happiness is usually linked to something outside of ourselves, but joy is internal. Cindy and I have a friend named Margaret. Margaret is a popular author and speaker. A couple of years ago, the magazine Christianity Today named Margaret as one of the top 50 female leaders impacting the church today. She's written more than 50 books and Bible studies. And I first met Margaret and her husband Leif when I invited her to speak in chapel at Azusa Pacific University years ago when I was in campus ministry there. And for some reason, Margaret and her husband Leif and I hit it off, and we've kept in touch through the years. In fact, when Margaret spent a couple of months living with a winemaker to research her book on John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches," He sent Cindy and I a case of wine made by that winemaker she was staying with. She obviously knows Cindy's love language. Anyways, a couple of years ago, Margaret was diagnosed with cancer. And as she was going through her chemo and radiation, she found a deeper sense of joy in her relationship with Jesus than she'd ever experienced before. And she discovered that joy was her most powerful weapon in fighting her disease. In fact, she wrote a book about her battle with cancer called Fight Back with Joy. Margaret's cancer eventually was put into remission and is still in remission today. But when she was in the thick of her battle, joy is what sustained her. Joy comes from heaven to earth, not the reverse. We also find here that joy is rooted in the gospel. It's rooted in the gospel. The angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. The Greek word for good news is sometimes translated gospel in the New Testament, is the Greek word euangelion. It's where we get our English word evangelical from this word euangelion. An evangelical Christian is a Christian who believes in the good news, who believes in the gospel. And this word in the ancient world often referred to a public proclamation of good news. When the Roman government would publicly announce the emperor's birthday, the announcement was called euangelion, gospel, good news. And gospel, good news, is the primary word that the Bible uses to describe the message of Jesus. Jesus' very first sermon, he said, God's kingdom is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. The book of Romans calls this gospel the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. This gospel is the central theme of the New Testament, this good news that God sent his son into the world for us. And authentic joy is rooted in this good news. And this is why our joy can transcend our outward circumstances. Because even when we're going through difficult times, even when we're grieving a painful loss, even when we're not sure of what's next, the gospel still gives us joy. We can still find joy in the fact that God is for us and not against us. That God has forgiven our sins. And that God will never abandon us. We can still find joy in the assurance that God is working. God is not finished with us yet. Authentic joy is rooted in the gospel. You know, one of our staff asked me a couple of weeks ago if I felt like I had one consistent theme in my teaching over my 6 years at Glen Kirk. And I really had to think about that. After all, this current series, Songs of the Season, is my 40th teaching series over the last 6 years. Over the last 6 years, we looked at entire books of the New Testament like Philippians and Colossians and 1 John. We've explored key passages of other books like the Sermon on the Mount and John chapters 14 through 16, Romans 12 and 13 this last fall. We've dug into Old Testament books like Exodus and Proverbs, Isaiah, the Minor Prophets, and then last summer, 1 and 2 Kings. We've explored doctrines like the Trinity, the Atonement, the doctrine of the Church, and we've looked at practical topics like prayer and managing money and loneliness. How could I boil my teaching ministry down to one single theme? But as I thought about it, one theme that I've returned to again and again is this. Our biggest temptation as a church will always be putting ourselves before Jesus. Putting our leaders or our pastors, our ministries, our resources, our congregation, our history, our story, our facilities before Jesus. Taking the spotlight for ourselves and pushing Jesus into a supporting role. And one way to avoid doing that is to keep this gospel front and center of everything we do. May Glen Kirk always be a gospel-centered church, a truly evangelical church in this sense of the word that puts the good news of Jesus before and above everything else. And if you do that, you will always be a joyful congregation too, because joy is rooted in the gospel. Finally, from this shepherd's song, joy leads to praise. Authentic joy leads us to praise God. The joy announced by the angels leads to the angels' song, glory to God in the highest. And I thought about this last Sunday. Last Sunday was such an amazing day for me. My dear friend Keisha sang on our worship team. She also sang at my installation service 6 years ago, and it meant so much for her to make time to be here with us last Sunday. And we also welcomed new members and baptized one child and four students, and that makes about 79 new members that we've added to Glen Kirk over the last 2 years. It was a joyful morning for us, and that led us to praise. I don't know about you, but I sensed the presence of God during our time of worship together so heavy last Sunday, because authentic joy leads to praise. Glen Kirk is a serving church. I hope that never changes. Sometimes we get tired. We grow weary because there are always more needs than we could ever meet. We get compassion fatigue. Our joy begins to slip away. Today, may we be reminded that joy comes from heaven to earth. It's rooted in the gospel and leads to praise. My first Sunday as your senior pastor was exactly 6 years ago today, the third Sunday of Advent, Sunday of joy. And then at the first of the year, that first year I was here, we went through the book of Philippians together, and we called the series Joy. And we've kind of come full circle. Pastoral transitions are never easy for a pastor or for a congregation. But it feels providential in God's sovereignty that I get to talk about joy with you today. Because joy can coexist with sadness and sorrow. We can celebrate what God has done among us over the last 6 years, and at the same time feel loss that it's coming to an end. Because sadness may endure for the night, but joy will always come in the morning. May we experience the fullness of joy during this Advent season as we join the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words and this song from Scripture. And thank you, Lord, that our experience of joy is not rooted in changing circumstances, good things happening, but that they're rooted in you, that joy is a gift from heaven to earth. May we, God, be a joyful people this season and all seasons. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.